University Forum. I'm Jean Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our program today is by telephone communication with Liberia in West Africa. Our topic, Liberia, the challenge of truth and reconciliation. I'm honored to welcome at this time the chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Attorney Jerome Verdier. Mr. Chairman, I welcome you to the program. I thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your taking the time to be my guest to discuss such an important subject as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Mr. Chairman, the words truth and reconciliation are heavy indeed. As a chairman, what do these words mean to you, and what do you see as the mission of the commission?
Well, those words capture the unique situation of Liberia after over two decades of conflict. It expresses the overwhelming desire of Liberians to unite and reconcile. It is a truth that after over two decades of conflict, it is important that in order for the country to move forward, the truth of what occurred, the truth of the causes of the conflict ought to be revealed so that an appropriate national approach to reconciliation can be considered in a way to avert further conflicts in the future.
What process is being developed to seek out those truths, Mr. Chairman?
Well, at the moment, the Commission has a two-year mandate that commences in June 2006. So at the moment, there is a preparatory period of 3 months, which will be ending on May 30th. So the Commission at this stage is engaging the Liberian public, Liberian all communities, stakeholders, and sectors of our society in creating massive awareness of the process, and at the same time educating people on the process and soliciting inputs into how the Commission proceeds with its work and what are those things it ought to be sensitive and keen to. But beyond that, when the actual work of the Commission begins, we are going to conduct investigation. We will commission several research, and there will be hearings of several different forms that gather the evidence that are stretching the truth and inform the process of making recommendations. We will be conducting inquiries into specific incidences, specific cases of rights violations. We will be holding hearings into thematic problems, for example, the case of women, with children who were victimized during the crisis, the case of violators, perpetrators, those who have been accused of economic crimes or suspected of committing economic crimes against Liberia. So a wide range of consultation, investigation, hearings, and public interaction will be considered in achieving the mandates of the TRC.
This means then that you will be offering the public citizens of Liberia the opportunity to share their pain and the knowledge that they have of the rape and the killings of their friends and families? Is that part of what you will be hearing?
Precisely. There will be enormous opportunities for the Liberian community at large, both home and abroad, to participate in the process. And uniquely, there will be a forum where victims will confront their perpetrators. The TRC is mandated to create that forum as an opportunity for healing, an opportunity for reconciliation, so that the offender and the victims can, in one forum, address the situation, share their experiences, and through that process, of course, the truth will come to light.
Can you take us back a bit to what you know about that time that brought you to this point where you now are able to look at these problems and to work towards reconciliation? Talk a bit, if you will, about what happened in Liberia and what things were like at that time.
Okay, Liberia was founded in 1847 by free slaves who returned to the continent and established its home as a haven for peace and liberty for all persons. Unfortunately, the country has gone through a troublesome history where the settlers didn't successfully integrate democratic participatory principles into the governance structure of Liberia. As a result, there was one party that led the country until in 1980 there was a coup where an indigenous Liberian, who was just a master sergeant in the army at the time, staged a bloody coup, and several of Liberian citizens were executed. Following that, there were recurrent crises and turmoil in the country. There was another round of war after Chadstone War. And then in 2003, the warring factions met in Ghana, signed a peace agreement, and decided that at the end of this current conflict, there should be an election, should be several commissions, one of which was the TRC. So the TRC was then established and mandated to investigate and document the root cause of that ring crisis and conduct an investigation during the period 1979 to 2003 and make recommendations for national reform and prosecution.
As you speak of root causes, what really gave rise to the power and control of Charles Taylor? What were those underlying root causes as you see that and looking back at it? And incidentally, not so incidentally, actually, what role did Americo-Liberians play in helping or hurting the development of Liberia?
Well, the question's very intrinsic to the mandate of the TRC. So I would prefer, if you may, not to express questioner opinions about them, because those are very, very pressing questions that the TRC will have to provide questions to.
I understand.
So not to prejudice, the outcome of the TRC process, I would prefer not to. But what I could see since I participated in the election is that Chadstone was elected out of a yearning desire for Liberians for talked about the election of Chadstone and overlooking or ignoring all of the attendant problems associated with it. They would have had peace since he was the biggest faction.
Now, as far as the Americo-Liberians, so just historically speaking, take me back a bit, because you spoke of when the country was established. And as I understand, and what little knowledge I have of it, is that the Americo-Liberians perhaps did not give as much support as might have been really required or helpful of the people who lived in that country.
As the kind of grievance indigenous Liberians have had over the years against their American-Liberian compatriots. And this sort of plantation mentality, in a way, was brought back to the country, since that was the only form of leadership or governance that the early fathers who founded the state were accustomed to. So perhaps, unconsciously, they might have alienated the rest of the country, the population, without even knowing it. But those are the matters we're going to be delving into and establishing historical truth of actually what transpired, why it happened, and how such process of alienation can be avoided in the future.
Well, in terms of some of the events during that horrific time, can you tell me a little bit about what happened to the boys who are called boy soldiers?
The experience of our conflict shows that they were amongst the most vicious of militant elements during the war. And based upon reports that have been reviewed, a lot of them were forcefully recruited or conscripted into warring factions. A lot of them were on drugs during combat time or during times of conflict. And so they are generally accused of committing some of the most egregious human rights violations. The root causes of why they behave that way, how they got recruited, and all of those are going to be subject of investigation by the TRC. These things happen, they have been documented, but to date, the root causes of how and why, especially in the case of Liberia, is yet to be established, but true.
Yes.
They were, to a large extent, victimized. They were compelled to fight. Some of them took up arms to defend themselves and their families. Some of them were forcefully conscripted. A lot of them were drugged. based upon what we have read and what we have seen. And so they committed the most heinous of atrocities against their own people.
What about their families? What happened to their parents?
When we have had this element process, we should have seen through a well-integrated reintegration program. Unfortunately, that hasn't gone true. But to a large extent, most of them have been accepted by their families and communities. There are others who have not fully reintegrated, and so they cannot go back home. There are a number of reintegration programs that are going on. Some of them are now in school. Some of them are pursuing vocational education. But in terms of firm statistics, in a majoritarian way, as to how they have reintegrated into their communities is very much one thing. And the general information is that they haven't fully reintegrated, and people haven't fully pardoned them for the crimes they committed. A lot of them have grown and are not proud of their past. They hope it can pass away. That's why we think the TRC process affords the opportunity for the community, people of the community, to come forward and remind them of what they did. And maybe that would be an opportunity for them to unload the burden of guilt they've been living with over these years. And we hope in that process there can be cleansing, there can be reconciliation, and maybe they'll be able to go back home and relive their guilt and perhaps settle things out with their people.
Is there any way that either from internal or external forces that some of this could have been prevented?
For a large extent, a lot of Liberians believe if the international community had acted much earlier or if sufficient pressure had been brought to bear on the warring parties at an early stage, I mean, the conflict would not have degenerated into kind of a bloody situation experienced in Liberia. But again, that is another aspect of our investigation, the role of internal and international actors in the conflict are being investigated. So I wouldn't want to pass judgment on what could have happened.
You're listening to University Forum with my guest, the chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Attorney Jerome Verdier. You're an attorney, sir.
Yes, I am.
Where did you do your work, sir? Where did you do your training?
In Liberia, I graduated from the Louis Arthur Graham School of Law and was admitted to the Supreme Court Bar of Liberia a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Well, they're very fortunate to have that expertise to chair what must be a difficult job.
Very difficult indeed, right.
Let me ask you a question about the rebuilding process. And I know it's so hard because you're still just getting started on all of this, but what kind of rebuilding process must be needed, particularly physically as well as emotionally in the country? The infrastructure, if you will. What do you see there?
Well, the Liberia needs a complete overhaul. Whatever is left of our infrastructure cannot cope with rising demands in contemporary times. So you see our entire physical and institutional infrastructure have to be reformed, have to be rebuilt, and all of that. A lot of public infrastructure, including water services, electric services, communication services, the public school system, the public health system, and the facilities are all down. Mm. It's just now, since the cessation of hostilities, that the assistance from the international community have come in and some minimal efforts are being committed to rehabilitating these institutions and facilities. But it's not on the kind of large scale that would be necessary to ensure that they function even at their pre-war levels. So the government has a huge challenge repairing and replacing damaged infrastructure during the course of the crisis. Mentally, a lot of Liberians are seriously traumatized. All around the country, we're all victimized. Electricity at the moment is non-existent. People have to rely on private generators, which is very expensive. Public health facilities are down. Mortality rate amongst children are high. Perpetrators who committed crimes are today leaders in government holding high office and are moving around. All of those things are very, very traumatizing, and it keeps the society in that state of unsettlement. But basically, we see the approach and the resolution as being part of a process, and it will take time to heal. That's why we so much embrace the TRC process, because it's a time for self-introspection. It's a time for national reflection. It's a time for us to sit together in a national dialogue and discover the root causes of the problem and then find collective solutions as to how, you know, a new agenda can be fostered for the kind of new idea we envisage for ourselves.
What about the people who left the country, the exiles, as they're sometimes referred to, but more or less people who have either fled or temporarily have left? You mentioned that some of them would have access to this process in some way. How will you do that? How can you get to them?
Yeah, definitely. We intend to ensure that all Liberians participate in the process. Recognize that Liberia, close to one-third, is out of the country. And that is a very, very significant number. Beginning next week, a delegation of commissioners will be going around the country. We have divided our country into 8 different zones. And right after that, we're going to make trips to Sierra Leone, to Guinea, to Ghana, to Nigeria, and the Africans, where a significant amount of Liberians are. I'll be coming to the United States by the 3rd week of May, and I intend to use that opportunity also to talk to Liberians. We've been communicating already, and we intend to find partners on that side so that the entire process can be transferred on that side, so that Liberians out of the country can have access to the process. Because out of the refugee population all around the world, there are victims who have their stories, who have their truths to reveal. Mm-hmm. And also there are perpetrators who at one point in time or another abandoned their faction from the army and sought asylum sought refuge outside of the country. So indeed, we recognize that a significant portion of our population is out of the country, and we will definitely have to engage them in the process. Otherwise, the process will be incomplete. And that's how unique the Liberian situation is from TRC processes in other parts of the world. You see that most of the key actors are out of Liberia, as you have just alluded to. And we have to engage them. We recognize that fully.
There are a large number of Liberians here in the Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Very active, in fact. I hope that when you do get here, that we get a chance to see you and meet you. Now, we were talking about what reconciliation can mean. When you get to the healing part where you have both the victim and the perpetrator, and perhaps some people,
yeah,
some people who may even be in posts that are, where would you prefer that they not be at this time, how dangerous is this for you right now? What is the danger? Is there much protection for you?
Well, not I alone, the entire commission assume a lot of risk by taking on these strikes. We realize that what we are embarking on may not be very pleasing to some people. It exposes us to threats, and of course the risk level on our lives is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
But notwithstanding, we think the cause is right. A good number of Liberians in the majority feel this process of healing and reconciliation, because that's the only way we can pull this nation back together out of the ashes and collectively establish a vision for the future. You know, there is no way out of it. If we, as some people are suggesting, just ignore the past, forget about what happened and move ahead, the ghost of the past is definitely going to haunt us again. We could find ourselves in this spiral. of violence again. Others are saying, no, at this moment, just move out now and prosecute those who you can prosecute, and that would be it. We still feel that a highly traumatized society going through the process of selective prosecution will not accomplish healing, will make reconciliation even more difficult. But the process of the TRS, over a two-year period, we sit together and discuss the problems of Liberia. And people will begin to wind down, they begin to undo their psychological, social, and physical burdens. And in a unique way, by just talking about the problems, talking about the constraints, everybody gets involved and it provides a healing answer. We intend to train and recruit counselors, trauma counselors, and others who will give psychological assistance to witnesses who will be coming forward, and even to the commissioners themselves. You know, so we are aware of the risks we take, but our security lies mainly in the fact that Liberian pool one day, and we have taken some measures to ensure that we are maximally protected, even though we haven't perfected our plan yet. But as soon as our work starts in earnest in June, those measures will be put in place.
Even the perpetrators must have some guilt and will need some of that healing.
Definitely. There are a lot of them. A number of them are going around. They are seeking new friends. They are finding creative means of making amends. I was just in a leadership conference this week, and there were all of the warlords. It was a reconciliation conference for leaders, and all of them were there. And it was a good interchange here. It felt good in one of the group sessions. You could see they are burdened by their sense of guilt. So it's a process that is going to do them as much good as it would do the victims.
Because there certainly will be some feeling of wanting justice, but how the process develops will be paramount as to what justice will mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why we call on Liberians to be a little patient and see the process through. Because there are a lot of definitions to undergo. What is prosecution? What form of prosecution? Do we have the institutional capacity to carry on such criminal prosecution on a large scale? Who are those to be punished and why? What's the evidence? What's the nature of the evidence? What's the standard of the evidence available? Is it cognizable under our criminal justice system, or does it stand the standard in the terms of international criminal justice? Those are questions we have to try upon as a people. And during this two-year period that the TRC is sitting, all of these questions will come on and review. People will have to say it's going to be an open, transparent process. And we can call on all Liberians to participate. Sometimes just by hearing the stories of people, you kind of get at peace with yourself and realize that other people have much more terrible situations than what your experience have been. And so in that respect, a lot of people are going to unwind, put their lives together and overcome the past. I just seen what a lot of people have experienced, and they are reliving their story and seeing told publicly by hearing it. Only time will tell how much healing will be accomplished thereby, but we are confident that it's a unique therapy for reconciliation and healing in Liberia. The conference I will be attending in May will be on reparation for women. I intend to use that time, I intend to use that time to meet up with Liberian groups and all of that. I just hope Liberians on that side can organize us fast enough so that we can get our TRC structures going in states like Philadelphia, for example. I'm going to be in New York by the 16th of May. Yeah, the conference runs for 3 days. By the 19th, I'll be free of that engagement. And I want to use that time to meet a couple of donors if possible and meet with as many Liberians as possible. So if there's anything you can do to get Liberians together around that, we would definitely appreciate it.
I will email you contact information for me so that we can keep in touch by email, perhaps. Now, I do want to say one thing about your president, a strong president and a woman president.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how much strength, how much energy she still exerts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, she's still energetic. She stays in her office very late. Just when I was leaving at 7, there was a long line of people waiting to see her, so she works very late.
You call her
and
the Iron
in
Lady.
In her office. Yeah. In her office, instead of having the kind of presidential chair behind an elaborate presidential desk, you can't imagine what she has there.
What does she have?
She has a simple business desk and an executive chair, just as an ideal corporate office would look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the simplicity about her with which she's brought to the presidency is to ask for the healing process, you know, and do away with this imperialism that I've been associated with the presidency.
Yeah. That will certainly garner a great deal of respect and love for her.
Yeah.
Just one question. I know we talked a little bit about you, but what did you go through during this horrendous time? You have family, sir?
Yeah, I have a wife and children of African boys.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this country throughout the crisis since 1990. I went through all of the terrible experiences. There were near misses of death. There were situations where people were killed or executed in my presence. I've lost relatives. I had a friend who escaped the conflict somewhere else and even was living with me. He went out to look for food. It's been more than 12 years now. He hasn't returned. And
oh,
I have not gotten even a single word as to what happened to him or his whereabouts. Just disappeared in thin air.
Mm.
That was early 1992. I mean, that's the situation I've been in. I saw passions rise and fall. I've keenly watched the political process as it unfolded, how people campaign and fought for political power and authority. And then, at the appropriate time, I came up with colleagues in civil society, and I became a very strong voice in advocacy for rights, freedom, democracy, and all of that.
Mm.
And I think that's how I got to this point.
Mm. And then there's Massa Washington, someone who's interrupting her studies in social work, Chairman Jerome Verdier. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Liberia is so important. You have our warmest thoughts as you pursue what's really a difficult and very critical task. But we know that it will help to heal. It'll help to heal and move toward a constructive future. Not only for Liberia, but I think you'll be a symbol for the peoples around the world.
I certainly believe that. Thank you also for the interest. And I'll be willing to talk to you anytime.
I want to thank you so much for being my guest on University Forum. You've been very gracious, sir. And I look forward to hearing from you and seeing you when you come to the States. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Please send your comments or questions in University Forum programs to me by email at jemoore@temple.edu or call my voicemail 215-204-4376.